Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And this is James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to another episode of The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find at the newly updated NewWorldNextWeek.com. High-quality, low-quality video, audio only, and tons of ways for you to share and spread the word about this show. So, James, we'll begin this week with a site within my own Media Monarchy kingdom, and we call it CyberspaceWar.com. With a kind of unbelievable story. This, I think, is one of those crossing the Rubicon kind of stories. Drones assist in corralling North Dakota cattle rustlers. Predator B drones were called in from the Grand Forks Air Force Base to assist in a June cattle theft. Three men were arrested by local North Dakota Sheriff Kelly Janke after a drone helped locate three family members suspected in stealing six cows. As the unarmed, or rather unmanned, aircraft circled 2 miles overhead, sophisticated sensors under the nose helped pinpoint the three suspects and showed they were unarmed. Police rushed in and made the first known arrests of U.S. citizens with help from a Predator, the spy drone that has helped revolutionize modern warfare, so says the Los Angeles Times, and they continue, but that was just the start. Local police say they have used 2 unarmed Predator-based Grand Forks Air Base drones to fly at least 24 surveillance flights since June. So the FBI and the DEA have also employed drones in their investigations where, of course, corporate profits enjoy precedence over public safety in the implementation of drones over our increasingly unfriendly skies in the police states of America. More on this story from Signs of the Times that really kind of breaks it down. And we see this also all around the world, as, of course, folks no doubt have seen the story about the drone in Iran and Obama now asking, can we please have our drone back? And we'll provide all the documentation and all the sources on these and all the stories we cover here. And even an update, James, thanks to you, from InTheLie.com, cyber war on U.S. drones, another spy craft crash now in Seychelles. James.
Very interesting things going on all around the world, isn't it? And this drone story is important in a number of ways. First of all, it's something that I've been covering on my radio program for the last couple of weeks now. About 2 weeks ago, I posited on my radio show that the next false flag could involve a hacked drone event, because we've seen the buildup for that over the last several months with that ridiculous story about the viruses and the keylogging software that somehow made its way onto the controls, the control computers for these drones at Creech Air Force Base, and all of the shenanigans surrounding that. So we saw that happen, and it was very much a sign that this was a trajectory for a potential false flag. And the week after I said that, of course, this whole Iranian drone scenario played out with Iran now allegedly, supposedly, they hacked into that drone and brought it down to the ground. And so we see all of this setting up. So that's one aspect of the story. Of course, the other aspect is that this particular raid that we're talking about on these cattle rustlers taking place, obviously, inland, on American citizens, on American soil. It's and people should recognize this for what it is, which is the deploying of what is essentially a military asset in the pursuit of domestic law enforcement, which, of course, is a violation of posse comitatus that they get around by saying, well, you know, now we use it for customs border patrols. We use it for the Department of Homeland Security. It's part of domestic policing. So this is part of the indoctrination and getting people to gradually accept the idea that these types of military assets really are being deployed on citizens now.
And I think it's interesting, too, to kind of tie in the cattle rustling angle in a way, sort of makes it seem, when you put it out into the public, like this is just all American. We, you know, we use drones to catch cattle rustlers. It's no different. We've always been this way. Let's shift gears now, James, to a site in your Corbett Report kingdom, climategate.tv.
Corbett Report Republic.
I'm sorry?
Corbett Report Republic.
Pardon me. Canada to withdraw from Kyoto Protocol. This from the National Post. Canada is formally withdrawing from the Kyoto Accord on climate change, Environment Minister Peter Kent said this past Monday. The Kyoto Protocol does not represent the path forward for Canada, he said in a news conference in the foyer of the House of Commons after his return from an international climate change summit in Durban, South Africa, which, of course, folks may remember we covered a few weeks ago on this show. But continuing, it's now clear that Kyoto is not the path forward for a solution to climate change. If anything, it's an impediment. Canada will formally withdraw from the Kyoto Accord on climate change, and we are invoking Canada's legal right to formally withdraw. Now, that rather repetitive bit from the National Post, we can get the update from Reuters and from all around the world as, again, this all kind of wraps up and everybody's kind of going home and doing their postmortem on COP17. Canada out of Kyoto must still cut emissions, says the United Nations. Canada still has a legal obligation under UN rules to cut its emissions despite the country's pullout from the Kyoto Protocol, the UN climate chief said Tuesday. So even though you're trying to kind of walk away from the craps table, you still owe the house. Is that essentially what they're saying, James?
That seems to be what they're trying to say, but I'd like to see them enforce that. What's the UN going to do? Invade? Well, actually, in this day and age, maybe they will. But at any rate, absolutely. Well, you got to give hats off to Canada for this. And as much as I absolutely have nothing but contempt for the Harper government and all of the just Canada destroying things that it's done in its reign over the last few years, including the new border agreement that's just been signed between U.S. and Canada, which further erodes Canadian and American sovereignty. But at least in this one, they've got it right. I think absolutely it's Canada. I mean, this exposes, no matter what your position is on the phony global warming hoax, which obviously I don't believe in myself, but no matter what your position on that is, what this exposes is at least there's one country that's not going to go along with the hypocrisy that is at the bottom of this Kyoto Protocol, where all of the countries are failing to meet their obligations under the protocol, but they're all going along with it and giving it lip service. At least Canada is saying, look, we can't meet this. We haven't been meeting this. We're not going to meet this. We're pulling out. So hopefully this is the start of things to come as the UNFCCC completely falls apart and is completely delegitimized. And on that note, the IPCC, which of course provides the Climate Bible scientific report, which supposedly underpins all of this, has been under devastating attack recently, including a brand new book from Donna LaFramboise, who I just interviewed recently on CorbettReport.com and ClimateGate.tv. So I hope people will check out that interview to find out more about the shambles that the IPCC is in, as even a lot of the lead authors and of the IPCC itself are now coming out and attacking it and saying it needs to be completely overhauled. So it is falling apart on every level, and this is just another sign.
All right, James, for our third and final story this week, as we approach the holidays and we only have a few more episodes left in 2011, and it sure is cold here in Portland already and is discussing climate change and all of those things. But as we are approaching the holidays, I think what comes to mind for a lot of folks is substance abuse. And we'll take it again from Reuters. Survey says teen smoking and drinking at historic lows. Marijuana use high, wink, wink. Cigarette and alcohol use among teens is at the lowest level in decades, but marijuana use is on the rise, according to a survey released on Wednesday. Just under 19% of high school seniors said they smoked cigarettes in the past month, compared to a peak rate of 36.5% in the mid-90s. Results from the National Institutes of Health Monitoring the Future survey showed. Jumping down a bit in this report, and again, we'll provide all the links and all the documentation for you to go check all this stuff out for yourself. Overall, cigarette and alcohol usages by teens are at the lowest points since the first survey was taken in 1975. Marijuana use among teens rose in 2011 for the fourth straight year, a sharp contrast to a dramatic decline that occurred during the preceding decade. Daily marijuana use is at a 30-year peak level among high school seniors. The survey found Monitoring the Future is an annual survey of 8th, 10th, and 12th graders conducted by researchers at the University of Michigan with funding from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. So, James, I'll throw it back to you right after I throw in this other bit from the other side of the world, from the Daily Mail. Dutch police complain it's their right to smoke cannabis while off duty. Police in Amsterdam are complaining over new rules banning them from smoking cannabis while off duty. Officers in the Dutch capital, famous for its liberal drug laws, have been told they must set for the public a good moral example. The ban, due to come into effect January 1st, will make the force the first in the Netherlands to bar officers from using drugs when not at work. James.
Well, it's interesting to get that international perspective on it, because, of course, this is an issue that really does vary from country to country. And here I am in Japan. Of course, Asia obviously has extremely tough regulations on drugs, with still death sentences in some countries for even trying to bring drugs into the country. In Japan, it's still front page national news when people are busted for possession of marijuana. So of course, quite a different culture over here than in America, quite a different culture again in Europe. So very different approaches in different countries. And it's interesting to see the rates of drug abuse that are going on in different countries and how it affects those countries based on their laws. So I think there is a good chance for studying the different regulations and laws and cultures in different countries and see how they play into this. But I'd be interested to see your take on these stories.
I guess I've been tracking it on Media Monarchy and on the sites and the radio shows, it seems like these things are kind of all maybe culminating into some kind of tipping point at some point very soon, where you see the disparities and the differences between Big Pharma and the rate of garbage that they push out constantly and then have to, you know, pull back and pay off millions and billions of dollars for killing people and deceptive practices. Meanwhile, kids, thankfully, not using cigarettes and alcohol as much and for the lowest levels, like it said, since the survey started. And marijuana going up. Marijuana, at least, is a natural product. And your creator God, whatever you think that is, left it here. And it's a natural thing that the corporations can't copy or, you know, can't patent. So it's this shift back and forth, I think. And do I think it'd be great if, you know, if everybody were on pot all the time? No. But I think it's coming to a point, and especially as we saw here in the States with Obama, of course, in his campaign in 2008, he gave lip service to, you know, changing everything, but especially the drug war. But it instantly shifted into high gear and busting dispensaries and all of those things. And the war on drugs, the failure that it is still kind of plodding forward. But it feels like that is an area that may come to a head here in the not too distant future.
Absolutely. Well, even apart from the drug aspect of it, of course, we know that hemp is the wonder plant that had to be demonized in the wake of big pharma and big agra and all of these other things, because it's a food source, it's a medicine, material fibers and everything. It really is a wonder plant in so many ways, and it grows so readily that it had to be demonized in order for the companies to come in and make money selling their garbage products. So I do hope there is some sort of turning of the tide on that issue, but I don't think it's going to happen in Japan anytime soon.
James, unless you have any other bits to add, we will wrap up this 95th episode of NewWorldNextWeek.com.
I would just like to once again tell people about our regular Thursday night segments on Corbett Report Radio, where you will be joining me as a guest in the latter half of the program to talk about foodworldorder.com and all the food, health, environment issues. So people can stay tuned for that. And I saw some comments in the YouTube comments, people asking if they can listen to the radio show online. I would just once again urge everyone, if you haven't gone to jamesmediamonarchy.com or mycorbettreport.com, there is a world outside of YouTube, and there's a lot of information on my site and on James's site that aren't in these YouTube videos. So please go there for more, including listening to my radio show, listening to James's radio show, etc.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.